I watched your video where you were going over the response to your MSJ. But I saw a few things you were talking about and thought they might make for good discussion. So there's like this whole question of spoliation going on in your case,
Oh,
right?
God. Yeah.
So like I don't know. It's strange because I've seen the other side in this has claimed like, oh, we can't make a
And I.
spoliation filing until after discovery is over, right? Which doesn't make a ton of sense. Usually you would want to make a spoliation claim as soon as you know it's happening
Of course.
to try to get the judge to stop it, right?
Yeah.
But then there's like another part of spoliation where if you can prove this, I did it, well, they've destroyed it. Now nobody gets that evidence, right? Well, then what you can do is you can say, okay, judge, now we want it on the record in front of the jury so that they know that this destruction happened, and we want the judge to direct the jury to basically assume the worst, right? So like, that way then there's no question. It's like it's like the worst version of pleading the fifth, right? Where like, okay, I don't have this message, but here's what the opposing party says it probably said. So we're going to tell the jury to assume that. So what's weird is like they are making all these arguments around you doing spoliation, blah 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 blah. But even just in the deposition that you were reading to chat, it was like, oh, like you could probably prove spoliation from Doe's side because Doe messaged her ex-boyfriend, right? And then y'all were like, hey, where are those messages? And he's like, oh, I deleted those. Okay. He probably doesn't have an obligation, really. Like, he kind of did have an obligation. It's technically maybe spoliation, but not something worth
Actually,
fighting
you know what's
over.
really funny is you're both underthinking it and overthinking it. He actually did have an obligation. Do you know why?
Because, I mean, well, because just by talking to Pixie,
Nope.
it was likely that there was a lawsuit
No,
coming.
because fucking Joanne represented him. So he was in a way he's represented by an interested party in this thing. She should have told him that he has an obligation to hold on to those messages because they were relevant to
Wait,
the yeah, no.
was she representing him at the time of those messages?
If she wasn't, it was like right around then. So he should. I'm pretty
Right.
sure they messaged each other before. But I guess actually, technically,
But
maybe you could say there was 2 days before where he didn't know. Maybe, but
yeah, like there's theoretically like a very narrow window where maybe
sure.
he did it and he didn't. But like the deal is like it's not if there's evidence that could that for a current lawsuit. It's if a reasonable person would think that a lawsuit is imminent and this would be relevant.
Yeah.
And very clearly it would be, right? So, but first off, like, whatever. He doesn't have it. It's probably not super material. He's not a super important witness to this. But I would bet Doe deleted her messages to him,
Probably,
and
yeah.
all of those are discoverable. And there's zero excuse for her. So, like, you could easily, I don't know about easily, but you could file spoliation against her, say, look, she destroyed these things, blah, blah, blah. And then now the jury gets to assume all this bad stuff. And there's probably a bunch of different areas in this lawsuit where you could do that on their side. The issue is that we're like outside of discovery. So it's just kind of awkward to
Well,
do it
yeah,
all. And
the
also, like,
one issue is
how
outside of
material it is.
discovery. Exactly, yeah. The second issue is how material because I'm not countersuing. So it's like what? It's like
Yeah,
it's not like it's
right.
helping me build
Exactly.
anything.
And also, like, you can theoretically, you can like use this stuff as impeachment. But it's just kind of funny that they're like claiming all of these things about you, and it would be like trivially easy to show that they have been doing a ton of spoliation
Absolutely,
right
yeah.
now. And the other side of it is like you mentioned it correctly before. You're like, well, there's literally no reason why you would think Abby and C is involved in any of this. And you having deleted her messages isn't an issue because you didn't there was no reasonable expectation that she would be part of the lawsuit.
Yeah, there's an annoying world where, and I don't know because it's so, because I don't know how much you're supposed to anticipate one, the judge taking a long time to rule on things, and then two, the other side just acting in like actual flagrant bad faith. But like, I did have those messages archived, thank God. But like, technically, I didn't need to have. Like, I could have deleted them and had nothing. And then when they made the accusation, I could just say, okay, well, I don't have any of those messages at all. Like, kick rocks. Like, I don't know. Good luck. You have Abby's one screenshot of a message that's half fucking wiped away with a black digital highlight or whatever. So what, you know, but like, yeah. But the fact that I would say I went above and beyond my discovery requirements to satisfy everything that they requested. And now they want to try to like say that everything that I've requested or everything that I've provided is no good. And it's like, okay, fine. Like, let's take a best case reading of this and you wipe away all my evidence. We just have nothing. You have nothing. There's
Well,
nothing, you guys, because you guys aren't even submitting evidence for anything. And if you're going to say that my stuff is spoliated, Abby is providing a fucking screenshot. And we don't even have the conversation. And we don't even have an unredacted screenshot. Like, you're gonna hang your hat on that single screenshot for your entire federal case. Meanwhile, every single thing I'm provided is somehow just illegitimate because of some random Spanish dude that you found to copy-paste arguments from Kiwi Farms. It's fucking insane.
You're right. And then on top of that, you look at like what their main argument for why your stuff needs to be excluded is this expert witness, which like, first off, all of their arguments to exclude your information excludes Abby's. And then second off, like, let's say the problem is that that's not really it doesn't really work where they introduce this expert witness and then the judge excludes the evidence. It almost certainly what would happen is you would introduce the evidence and then they would use the expert witness to call into to question the foundation of credibility, right? And the issue is that they can't really do it such that, in my opinion, the judge would exclude it. Instead, what would happen is the judge would say, well, we're going to let the evidence in, and then this guy can testify as to how this stuff works to undermine the credibility of that evidence.
Sure.
Right? And then you would go up there, and you could ask the questions of, like, well, even if you had metadata, couldn't you edit the metadata? Right? And what you're doing is you're asking the jury to give a shit about a super, super complex idea and concept, and then only agree with that theory and not agree with and not understand the fact that metadata is also editable. Right. Yeah. And so it's like, it's just a very stupid way to attack evidence. And it also really undermines them. So it's just, yeah, it's a very,
not to, like, mention then it's like, okay, now serious. Like, you know, Pixie, you need to explain why you have no messages with Lauren. You need to explain why you have no messages with Aaron. Like, And then it's just like, yeah. Like when we were doing the, yeah. I don't know if I read from the transcript on that, but like when we were doing the depo related to the Lauren messages, her argument was that we never had a single conversation at all related to the court case. And I didn't set those to auto delete. I didn't delete anything. The other party in the conversation set them to auto delete.
Right. And it's one of these things where it's just like, okay, I mean, like, you can say that, you can testify all this stuff, but, like, none of this is building a very believable or strong case. None of this is going to serve you that well. And then, like, the only saving grace is that there aren't counterclaims that are going to roast you alive. So, yeah. Like, yeah, I guess, right?
And now I wonder, like, if maybe for future, hopefully I don't do it ever in court cases again, I wonder, like, what high profile or whatever the fuck civil litigators think or whatever, like, should you always have some type of counterclaim just to kind of, like, check the other party? Where it's like, if you start doing wild shit, then you can start stacking these up? Because it is really annoying that there's nothing. I mean, I guess I can try to counter sue after, maybe, but that's going to be a whole other court case and everything else. And it's like, I don't know how much of, yeah. I mean, I'll try to sanction her for as much as I fucking can, but fuck, it's annoying to see how much, like, retarded, like, blatantly fucking retarded behavior they can try to get away with on their end.
And, well, yeah. And there's, like, also the thing where it's like, there is every possibility that they do everything, get up to the day of trial and go, okay, we just drop everything and walk away, right? Like, they make you spend all of the money of prep, all the stress, everything like that. And they get there and go, oh, screw it, we're just not going to even
do
the trial.
I think that you can get penalized for that, right? There are certain places where it's like, it's
supposed
to be improper to drop.
Like ways to, but I mean, like, they're already facing some sanctions, like,
maybe, hopefully.
And the sanctions that they get is going to be, like, less than what they would probably pay if they actually go through the trial and stuff. I mean, like, it's just, I don't know. It depends. There's a whole lot of it depends in there, but it's, yeah, it's very, and like you said, like, okay, now they've got it, like, in this MSJ, how much are they even citing to this deposition? And then all the parts that they cite to any depositions, you guys can just also cite to the transcript and go, like, hey, look, like, they totally misrepresented this part of the transcript, right? And yeah, there's not really, like, a good out for them here. There's no big, like, oh, haha, we've won. Everything is a repeat of what it was before. Mm-hmm. But, you know, yeah, you mentioned also, like, oh, I wonder if there's, like, an industry for third party or for expert witnesses, and there 100% is that. So, like, if you need an expert witness to say something, you can find them, you'll pay them, they'll say it. So much so that, like, whenever you're in a lawsuit, whenever someone names an expert witness, the first thing you do is go look up their name to try to find them in other lawsuits about the similar things to contradict them and be like, hey, in this other lawsuit, you submitted a report that said this. Why are you saying it differently?
Oh,
here?
Fuck. Right? Somebody, there was another lawyer guy that emailed me. And they're called, there's a name for this. It starts with B. There's, like, a type of exception or a type of thing that if an expert witness fails on, it's, like, very humiliating. I want to say, like, Bobber, but it's not that. Do you have any idea?
Oh, you're talking about Daubert hearing?
Is that it? Where you can exclude?
Yeah.
Yeah, it might be that. Yeah. Where, like,
It's a type of voir dire. It's, gotcha. It's where you'd say, like, oh, okay, like, this, we want to make sure this expert is an actual expert and has the credentials to testify, and so you do a specific, like, evidentiary hearing outside of the
and the judge can decide if they're credible or not,
yeah,
or whatever,
and then the judge will go, like, if, yeah, and if you fail that, it's fucking sad.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, it was like, I don't know, like, there's not a ton to say out of this MSJ response. It's not much that, like, there that we didn't expect to see. And then, like, as far as, like, any additional you know,
it's so crazy
Abby,
to me, this disgusting really fucking cunt, dude. She was coached so hard on how to answer, like, very specifically for, like, so many different lines of questioning. Like, on the I'm just scrolling through for looking at the signal thing. She says this over and over again. I did not delete anything. Miss Hayden set it up for deletion. All of our conversations were about another lawyer's personal life. And she just says this answer over and over and over and over and over and over again for why there are absolutely no conversations on signal. And she just repeats it. Oh God, she's such a fucking liar, dude. God, I hate her so much.
Well, and so there's like, and another awkward, like, I'll say this, like, if their strategy was to do this, it was actually like very effective, where like they knew they were going to get depositions, or like they were trying to get depositions here, because if they did depositions during discovery and acted like this, then you guys would very clearly move for to compel, because it's like, true. Oh, look, these people showed up and were bad faith and evasive. And now at this point, it's like, oh, well, yeah, we did the depositions, but like, are you really going to slow everything down some more because we were evasive and stuff like that? Like, at this point, you guys might be able to like move for like, I think it's, is it 37? Rule 37 sanctions, and be like, look, obviously, like, destroying evidence, they showed up to this depot in bad faith, like, you could probably move and try to get that after the trial.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, because you can't show up to a deposition in bad faith, and if you do, if someone does, like, you know, we're presuming Doe did, you could very easily like show that to the judge and be like, look, this person showed up and did not answer questions they should have had answers to. They were not showing up in good faith.
I told you the there were, if I control like left, like, authenticate, this shows up did you hear the reading of her answer for this?
Yeah.
99 Which, times in the deposition, when we show her, like, here's the logs, this is what you said, can you explain this? Her response was, I can't authenticate the contents of this document, nor can I confirm them. I have no personal knowledge of how they were created, by whom, or if they accurately reflect the conversations I had. And every single time we tried to ask her anything about any conversation, she would just constantly just repeat that answer over and over and over again. And then her, at one point, Andrew asks her, what is your basis for believing this document is not authentic? She says, because the defendant never submitted his discovery to a third party. There is no reason for me to believe this is authentic. That's even a thing you have to do. It's retarded. But no. The amount of coaching that she went through for this to just repeat like the same bullshit ass fucking answers over and over and over again is so fucking annoying.
And also the issue, like, and I'm sure if you read the depo, the transcript, you'll see this, where it's like, you know, she probably said that, and then Brettler goes like, okay, well, what's your opinion on what's on the document? And then she probably repeat the same thing, which, like, you can't do that, right? Like, I could literally pull out, you know, just like the book War and Peace, turn to a random page, read a paragraph on it, show them that paragraph, and go, what do you think about that? Ask them that question. And they have to give an answer. And if they can't, they really don't get to say, oh, I can't authenticate. Who cares if you can authenticate? I'm asking what your opinion is about the thing that I'm showing you right now. I want your opinion. Tell it to me.
Yeah,
right?
Nope. She literally, when it worked, they tried that, and her lawyer, the guy defending her depo, was literally like, hey, do you see this? Do you have an opinion about this message? And she's like, again, I can't say. And then they start fighting. He says, Miss Doe, I'm going to interrupt you. It's a yes or no question. And then her defender, you know, she's answering your question. Let her answer. And then Andrew's like, go ahead. We're going to be here all day. Please tell the jury you cannot identify whether or not this is an accurate depiction. And then her defender says, she's trying, Andrew. She's trying. And Andrew says, she's not. She's trying to be an obstructionist. But go ahead, Miss Doe. Please go ahead. And then she answers, as I've stated before, I have no knowledge or recollection of these messages. I cannot authenticate this document nor confirm it. I have no personal knowledge of how it was created, by whom it was created, or when. If you wish me to authenticate something, you have to show me the original Discord export, but this is not it. Like, these terms don't even mean anything. Original Discord, they're not even real things.
Right.
God, I don't know why I'm
this. Well, like, and I was in a depot, like, I was conducting a deposition last week, and it was like, okay, like, show a guy a contract. And I was like, you recognize this? And he's like, well, I recognize this as like a template, but I don't recognize the specific one. I was like, all right, let's talk about stuff in it, right? And then at one point, the other attorney goes like, I was asking, like, what do you think this part means? And the other attorney's like, he said he didn't know what this was. He didn't write this contract, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I'm just asking what he thinks. You know, if he doesn't have any opinion, he can say that. Mm-hmm. If you have an objection, just say the objection. Stop fighting with me, right? And so, like, if you show up and say, here, judge, here's, you know, 40 times she just went on this authentication line and is very clearly dodging questions, you know, normally you can get, like, sanctions, or they, you know, they have, like, different mechanisms to compel them to actually show up in good faith. But now, like, you guys don't get to do that because, or you probably smartly are not going to do that because you want to get this over with and the MSJ is on file and you're very, you know, you're likely going to win. So, like, why would you delay everything just to go to another deposition where you're going to get things that you're not even really going to need for the MSJ that you're writing? So,
yeah,
it's really stupid and it's really, like, unfortunate. But You know,
we had a whole
back
and forth trying to explain like the $15 million in damages. And she says she can't talk about any of it without getting into attorney-client privilege. She can't speculate or talk about any part of anything having to do with any of the damages that she says she supposedly suffered that are, you know, entitled to her $15 million and not even punitive, but just in whatever relief. Ah, oh, Jesus.
Yeah. It's, yeah. Well, look, we've got, you know, hopefully she'll, I mean, I don't know if you guys are doing a reply, but like, you know, we'll probably get an answer in 2 or 3 weeks from the judge.
And I hope so.
Hopefully that'll be that. And then, yeah, you know, I mean, then, you know, I'll no longer be necessary. You can finally get rid of me and then go on to happier times. No, but I mean, what I'm wondering about is like, if you guys do a reply at this point, if you guys do that, is it going to just delay the opinion from the judge, or do you think you guys need to do a reply for some of that?
I feel like we should, right? You want to, why not fully brief your MSJ, right? This is everything. The thing that scares me the most, I actually was chatting with him earlier about this. The thing that scares me the most is that, like, I hope that, and I know the clerks don't give a fuck about this case because it's just the most retarded random civil suit in the universe. But the thing that's scary is when you read like their filings, they're like kind of, they're pretty confusing. And it's like, you know, defendant claims that at 10:34 p.m. he sent this, but in actuality it was like 10:14 p.m. and it was like 10:27 p.m. And we see here that it's, and it's like, I hope that when they're reading this, I hope that the clerks or the judge is not looking at this like, wow, there's like a big dispute back and forth over like the validity of these logs, as opposed to like, okay, the plaintiff has submitted absolutely fucking nothing. And all of these complaints are trying to needle and nitpick to death what the defendant has submitted. But there has been absolutely nothing on the record contrary to anything the defendant has submitted. Nobody has contradicted anything that I've shown. Nobody has provided anything that contradicts anything. It's just this weird, endless needling and nitpicking around like time zones and whether the format is okay or whatever else. So, because the material dispute of fact is the only thing that I'm worried about, that there's going to be like, wow, fuck, maybe they really are, you know, in disagreement about who has the correct logs. And it's like, they don't have any logs. They have nothing.
Well, and that's kind of the thing that, you know, a lot of people are asking me like, oh, what happens if, you know, Doe doesn't respond. It's like, well, technically what happened, like in actual, like in function, generally that means that the MSJ gets automatically granted. But you know, really what happens is that the judge then goes in and goes, okay, well, like, since there's nothing on the other side, I'm going to assume everything that the movement wrote is true. And then they put it through the analysis. And on your end, like what's funny is in their response to you, it actually functions similarly where it's like, okay, Destiny laid out these specific facts. And then on the other side, what do they have to counteract it?
Yeah.
Well, they don't actually have specific facts to counteract it. They just have pleadings and arguments. Now, that can be sufficient. They can say, okay, look, like, even though Destiny has these specific facts, they don't fit the elements of what we're here to talk about. But they haven't really shown that, and they also haven't done anything to dispel your arguments. They've just said, like, oh, no, like, we just don't disagree with the way that he interprets it. And it's like, okay, sure, but like...
And then you're going to try to get an adversarial reading on evidence that I've submitted that you don't even have a counter to? What the fuck?
Yeah. Right. And it's like, even if you read it in the light... Like, the problem is that they're asking the judge to read it in the light most favorable to the non-movement, which is right. But the problem is that just because you're reading it in the light most favorable doesn't mean you interpret the evidence in a way that's most favorable necessarily, right? Because like... Okay,
yeah, like imagine like, do you have a video or do you have like a log from your ex-wife in 2017? And you're like, no, I don't. And they're like, we want an adversarial reading on that because we're going to claim that in 2017, with no evidence, that he told Melina that he was going to do all this horrible video stuff to Pixie. It was like, what? Yeah, just retarded. Like, if you had evidence of like, you know, Abby can show here that she thinks that this was sent here and she has like some kind of evidence here, and then I'm deleting it all. It's like, okay, that's a stronger argument. But the fact that you can just like gotta the gaps, your evidence on all of this is like, what are we doing?
Well, right, because like, let's say you said like, oh no, the date format's wrong. See, like, here's this here's these messages that show the date format this way, and then they said, well, no, actually, Judge, look, we have these messages about the these two different. One second, sorry, we have these logs that show that, like, no, we can frame that message around them to show that this date format is correct, right? Okay, now we've got two different sets of evidence showing different date formats. And it's like, okay, now the judge is going to have to like determine which one they believe and things like that. This is, they have a single message. And then like on your side, you can frame that message with the date formats to show. And it's like, well, the judge isn't going to look at that one single piece and go like, well, that's equal to all of this other evidence. They're still going to weigh everything. Uh-huh. It's just, they're going to like interpret it in a way that's favorable to plaintiff. But then also like the other issue is that plaintiff has largely abandoned the original thing with Rose. And then now with Abium C, all they have are these two declarations. And the problem is that like the declarations aren't in conjunction with evidence. So usually if you like you have a declaration, if you're just talking about events that happened, right? Sometimes you can't provide evidence to support it. But a lot of the but if you have like specific documents or events and you're talking about them in a declaration, it doesn't really mean much if those documents don't also enter the record, right? So sure. If Abium C is like, oh, there were messages that I received of this stuff, and here's a message of me talking about receiving it, uh-huh. Well, the judge isn't going to go, okay, well, those exist. The judge is going to go, well, these don't evidence that the messages exist. Just saying it, you're saying it.
Sure. Which, or at the very least, maybe that's okay, you know, in like your pleading stage. But like, I imagine you would want to develop that a lot more during discovery, right?
Well, but that's the thing, right? So like your pleading stage is where you get to just kind of say whatever, as long as you meet a minimum threshold. And MSJ is where it's like, no. You cannot rest on your pleadings. You are not allowed to rest on your pleadings. If you're making affirmative claims, you have to have evidence at that point. And just people saying that evidence exists or having evidence of the evidence existing is not sufficient.
The whole line of questioning related to, so she tried, this is her explanation. So in the middle of the page here, there's an indication that Pixie wrote at 2:13 a.m., I feel like whatever I ask you to cover will be too high a price, and then I'm going to feel even worse over it. Do you see that? You know, she says, yes. Is that a message that you sent to Mr. Bunnell? Yes. Oh, she remembers this one. Okay. And were you referring to, well, what were you referring to when you said, whatever I ask you to cover will be too high a price? What did you mean by that? And I meant whether it was 5 or 10 or whatever number, I felt like if he said no, then it would just make me feel bad. And he says, move to strike is non-responsive. Why? What did you mean by too high a price? And she said, I felt like no matter what I put, if he said no, I would just feel bad. Why would you feel bad? Because it would indicate that he doesn't actually think he hurt me to the level that I thought he hurt me. Was $15 million too high a price? I have no idea what would be too high a price because he never stated a price. Who never stated a price? The defendant. Why would the defendant need to state a price? Because he acknowledged that he hurt me and I wanted to know what level he thought he was hurting me. And you thought he was hurting you at the level of $15 million? I thought he was hurting me to whatever price you place on wanting to die, I guess. Well, you placed a $15 million number on that. How did you get there? I've been instructed previously not to answer. You can't answer that question, can you? She's like, I can't do it. You can't do it. And then her lawyer is fighting a little bit.
Wait, why can't she answer that?
Because she says, her answer is, me justifying that number would essentially be revealing confidential attorney-client privilege, which I have been instructed not to answer.
So that's retarded.
I know. You're the only place you could figure damage out from is for your attorney? Like, what? And then obviously Brettler pushes on that up a little bit. I don't understand how your damages would be attorney-client privilege information. Your damage would be a function of out-of-pocket losses, medical bills, all these things that you are required to prove to a jury, blah, 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 blah. And then she just says again, like, I don't understand the question. I don't know that I can answer this. As I've stated before, justifying the demand would include revealing attorney-client privilege information, which I've been instructed not to answer. So it's not that I'm unable to legally answer because it's attorney-client privilege. She has a funny way of like bringing this up again later on. So he says like, Ms. Doe, how much money do you earn every year? She says, well, I'm currently in law school, so I'm not earning money. And at the time you filed your lawsuit, what was your salary? I don't know. At the time you filed this lawsuit, were you making any money? I don't know. Did you file taxes in 2025? I think so. Okay. Did you report that you earned income in 2025? I don't remember the specifics. I sent that stuff to my lawyers and I let them handle it. To your lawyer? She said, well, the taxes, whoever's in charge of doing the taxes. Did you ever make any money in 2025? I assume so. You don't know? I can't recall the specifics of my financial situation. Keep in mind that she had two apartments in Miami at the time. Oh, this is coming up. Yeah. Where did you live in 2025? Florida. Where in Florida? Miami. Where in Miami? I was under two different leases. And then one is how she lived in one place. He asks, is that the order you lived in those places? I won't reveal the address. And she says, I was actively on both leases. And who was paying for those leases? I was paying and my wife was paying. How much was your rent? I don't know. I can't recall. How much did you pay? I can't recall. How much did your wife pay? I can't recall. You don't know how much you paid in rent? Not a year ago. I've moved since then. It's only been a few months. We're in April of 2026. Yeah, a lot has changed in my life since then. How did you afford? Did you make payments towards rent? Yes. How did you afford to make it? I previously worked for a company called Progressive
victory.
Oh, and now she says, I think I was paid around $5,500 a month. Dude, the amount of God, she's so fucking shameless in here. I'm so triggered rereading this. This whole depo is so fucking triggering.
Well, that's kind of the thing is, it's like, you whenever you're at a deposition like that, where you have a person just like very clearly caught in lies and making a bunch of those kinds of statements, if you're in the discovery period, then you go, great, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go in and say, I want every lease that I want a copy of the leases that she signed. I want a copy of pay steps from Progressive Victory. I want
but discovery's over, right?
Exactly. So now you're like, and you're not going to reopen that shit, right? Yeah. And so that's what I was saying before. We're like, I think they probably tactically did this so that it wouldn't be during discovery, so that you couldn't ask for more shit that would have been more pressing into her life. Because like before, I bet your discovery responses were precise enough that you could have gotten a motion to compel, but also were vague enough that like they could kind of skirt around and kind of like, oh, we have given it. And then you guys were like, oh, I don't know if it's worth really fighting over. But like, if you guys had gone in and said like, we want your fucking leases, and they said, we don't have copies of our leases, yeah, you're going to go in front of a judge and the judge is going to rip them apart.
Yeah,
that.
It's so retarded, dude. He brings back one more time. He's like, do you recall testifying? You see, the talking before it's correct. Okay. You wrote at 2:13 a.m. I feel like whatever I asked you to cover will be too high a price. Do you see that? Yes. You deleted that message from your Discord chat with Mr. Bonnell, didn't you? Yes. And you deleted that message after your attorneys had sent you a document preservation demand to Mr. Bonnell. No. Isn't that true? That's not true. No. No. When did you delete this message? When I created my Substack. When you created your Substack? She said, yes. When was that? Well, that was before I filed anything or before the request was sent to Bonnell. You're certain about that? I'm pretty certain about that. She's lying there, by the way, because the Substack was published a month before her lawsuit. So whoever rehearsed her on this fucked the dates up, but that's fine. And then he says, why did you delete that message? And she says, because in my Substack, I wanted it to be clear that what I was trying to communicate was that he was downplaying how I felt, and I felt like the message exchange was taking away from that clear connection. Holy fucking shit. Like, why would... It's just such a crazy thing to say that, like, I had to delete messages and shit to make him look worse in my already fucked in the head Substack. Like,
Oh, right. And then also, it's like, very clearly right there, she's going, I wanted this to be a reputational harm, as much reputational harm as I could. Here's the affirmative actions I took to make sure your reputation was harmed even more, right?
Yeah. Oh, also, quick meme, also, I guess, because like, we dropped this in the deposition, and she didn't know I knew this. Pixie has two Reddit accounts, by the way, that she uses to post about the case on Reddit, or she hasn't in a long time, last year or whatever. One of these accounts, she's going to do a huge fight with Forethought on, by the way. It's like creative writer _, and then there was one other one, but these were Reddit accounts that she never disclosed to us. I don't know how many other accounts she has, by the way. I just happen to know these because of a random connection and chance, but she lied about having these accounts because we asked her, what are all of your social media accounts? She didn't disclose either of these, and then when we brought it up in the deposition, she's like, oh, I guess maybe that might be my account, but it was failed experiment 5000 and then creative writer _, and it was funny because she was talking about her she was talking about herself in the third person on these accounts to try to do damage control. That's an insane cope. Deleted by you. Oh, no, never mind. I thought she deleted the account. That's an insane cope. If she's not okay with anyone knowing about anything sexual or anything along those lines, why would she be okay with a random 19-year-old she never met knowing? She was like, just leaving this here from a screenshot that will be by her on another platform. Like, she's pretending to not be herself commenting on it. In my subreddit, Destiny is positive from someone knowledgeable and respectful of consent and relationships. You have no idea the conversations that happened between Pixie and Destiny. For all we know, Pixie explicitly stated she was not okay with the video being shared, or Destiny claimed he would get permission. But
that's crazy.
Yep. That was just, I only know two of them. Who knows what other ones, right? Here's another one, the creative writer _. That lie was towards Dan, Destiny's business partner, before she announced publicly that it was her in the video, / when she was still pretending it wasn't her. When did she say she did or didn't initiate the behavior? Like, it's just, dude, she's, oh my God, I'm so triggered by this person. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, the other really weird part was whenever she was talking about the immigration stuff, and she was like, I don't know who sponsored my wife, blah, blah,
my
blah.
Wife's like, green card?
It's like, you mean the thing where you had to fill out a bunch of documents, and you would have, like, gone to the, like, what is it, the interview thing, and, like, done all, like, you would have, like, there's no way that you successfully got through the marriage green card process and didn't know that, because if you didn't, they would have brought it up at the interview and been like, oh, this is a fake marriage.
Yeah.
Like, they are, like, I don't know, like, in my experience, they're pretty fucking thorough in those reviews. And, like, if she went in there not knowing her shit, they would not have granted the green card. So, like, the idea that now she's here today, she's like, I don't remember. It's like, oh, okay, did you have any brain damage since then? Like, what's wrong with you?
Brettler asked something like, why can you only remember the things that seem to be helping you, and you've forgotten everything that doesn't seem to be helping you. Yeah. When we try to ask about like the legal fees, she just has like no idea like who's paying anything. Is this person a family friend? Yes, yes, yes. Is he charging you for his attorney services in connection with your claim? Yes. How much does he charge you? I can't recall. Are you paying him by the hour? I think so. Or are you paying him on a contingency basis? No, by the hour. Does he send you monthly bills? Yes. And to date, how much have you paid in attorney's fees? I don't know. To the best of your recollection, over $50,000, which is just the Substack. Is that just to Mr. Perez, or is that also to Ms. Peters? I can't recall. Does Ms. Peters also charge you by the hour? I don't know. Maybe. Does she send you monthly invoices? Not directly, meaning it goes to her dad. When you say not directly, oh, never mind. He sends it to Carlos. I think it goes to Carlos, but I can't recall. So Ms. Peters sent Mr. Perez invoices, and then blah, 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 sends it to you. I can't recall. I think so, but I can't recall. Can you recall how much you've paid to this floor or this other? No. And then eventually I think she...
This is the other thing, if this was during discovery, to be a broken record, you could say like, okay, you don't know this, who would know it? Who would have that information, right? And you start building a list of names and go, great, these are all people that I'm going to...
100%, like, oh, absolutely, yes.
Your dad's paying for all this? Cool.
Oh, we're gonna go ahead and let's go figure next. Exactly, right? Yep.
Yeah. Like, that's what you do. That's what we do. It's like, whenever you have a person that doesn't know anything, you're like, great, who would? You don't know anybody that would? Okay, let's go down this. Who do you know? Right? We're stuck in this room for 8 hours. Let's do it. Pull out your phone. Who's in your contacts? Right? It's that kind of shit. And you just start boom, 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 boom. And that stuff's all kind of out of reach. Now, I'm not going to get it, you know. I mean, it's all based on your appetite. And like, especially the other side, if you have counterclaims and you're playing with house money, that's when you can really start doing that stuff too. Because like, let's say even you did have the time for this, then you've got to be like, all right, am I going to pony up another 15K to like depose every single person she lists.
Yeah, without a counterclaim present, it's like, what's the point? Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah.
Oh, well, okay. And then another good meme. I don't know if this actually mattered or not. I have no idea. But she also claims, I don't know if this was to help her. I just don't believe anything she says because she's lied about fucking everything. But she also claims that in August of last year, her phone got stolen. And so she has no messages or anything back from anything related to that. So it's like, you're claiming today under oath penalty of perjury, you have evidence that Tiamano transmitted the video depicting you to Abby, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to know why we don't have that evidence. She says, I don't think there's specific evidence of the video because defendant has deleted it. That's my understanding. And you have no basis for that statement, correct? You have no evidence that Mr. Bunnell deleted some purported communications, do you? She said, oh, there is evidence. You have evidence that Mr. Bunnell deleted communications between him and Abby MC? He has stated multiple times on his stream that ever since the lawsuit dropped, he erased communications between him and essentially every woman in his life. That is video evidence that he has done. He has said it on his stream and it is recorded, so there is that evidence. Are you aware of any communication between Mr. Bunnell and Abby MC reflecting him transmitting the tape featuring you and her? No. Thank you. Did you ever have your phone stolen? Yes. What were the circumstances of having your phone stolen? I was on my way back from school, I think, and I was in an Uber or Lyft, more specifically, and I left my phone. I exited the car drove off, and my phone was still in the car, so it got stolen from there. It got stolen or you lost it? No, it got stolen because I found out where the location was, and when I contacted the Uber driver, and by that point, somebody had taken the phone. And so there's like no messages that she's able to give apparently before August of last year as well. Is the fact that your phone, that you left your phone in a car, a reason why you would be unable to produce responsive documents to our request for production? Well, it's possible that the data in that phone was gone that was stolen. When was your phone stolen? I can't recall. October of 2025? I don't know. Was it before or after you filed the lawsuit? After. Oh my fucking God, dude. It's shameless. It is so dude, I hope I can get her banned. God, I hope I could fuck her character for this stuff so bad, dude. Oh,
Steve's gonna be showing up to every
100%. I'm gonna be on that panel.
I am 100%.
Christ,
that's great. Well, I mean, it definitely would. It like, I mean, I'm sorry. Like this kind of stuff, especially if you guys do move for sanctions at the end, citing some of her behavior, things like that. It could definitely affect it. I mean, like just to talk about like. When I went through character and fitness, like I didn't even submit stuff wrong. I accidentally filled out one of the pages wrong and like hit save and I'll come back later to fix it. And then I came back later and fixed it. And they still were like, hey, what was going on there? Like, why did you say that you'd been arrested for a crime whenever you haven't? And I was like, oh, like I accidentally put yes when I meant no. And they're like, okay, go to the DA of your jurisdiction and get an affidavit saying you've never been arrested.
Yeah.
And I was like, are you serious? And they're like, yeah. And so I called the DA. And I was like, yeah, like, I called the DA. I was like, what do I do? And they're like, we don't know what the fuck you're talking about. And I was like, can one of you guys just send me an email that says I never got arrested? And they're like, fine, whatever. And they sent me one, and I gave it to Character and Fitness, and they're like, all right, we're going to be watching you, because obviously something's going on.
Yeah. Okay, so, this document asks for a number of categories of documents, including documents between you and your ex, anybody else that you communicated with pertaining to the video, anybody that you communicated with pertaining to Mr. Bunnell at all, and all of your communications with Lauren Hayden about this lawsuit about Mr. Bunnell. In fact, request number 23 specifically asks for all documents communicated between you and Lauren Hayden from October 1st, 2019 to the present on the mobile application Signal pertaining to defendant. Do you see that? Yeah, and you produced not a single document responsive to that request, correct? Yes, because we didn't talk about defendant. Such a joke. Fucking ass.
Didn't talk about you.
Yeah, it... Well...
Oh, the... Dude, Rettler is so funny, these typos. Request 24 is to do the communication between you and anyone else pertaining to defendant. I wasn't talking to anybody else on Signal. So the only person you were talking to with automatically deleted messages on Signal was Lauren Hayden, correct? Yes. Your best friend, correct? Well, with nothing pertaining to the defendant, correct? Sure. You think the jury will believe that? They should. Okay. Why were you automatically deleting messages if it had nothing to do with this case? Oh, that guy objected. And he said, I withdraw the question. It was a hypothetical. Jesus. Sheesh. Anyway.
Yeah,
whatever. Good memes. Oh.
Yeah, good memes. But yeah, well, good luck. Hope everything goes well. Look forward to the reply, or if no reply, then just the order.
Yeah. Did you read any of that Virginia case?
I didn't read all of it. I read some summaries of it. 1 second, I need to address some haters out there. Yeah. I was very big on this case, like, succeeding when it got to the Supreme Court, because there had been challenges to this vote prior to it actually happening. People actually challenged similar challenges, and the Supreme Court was like, no, we're going to let the vote go. I didn't read through all those, and I was like, oh, okay, I guess the procedural shit doesn't actually matter. And then if you read it this time, they go, oh, hey, the reason we didn't do that before is because there's like this norm that we're following where we don't rule on this shit until the vote is over, which I think is like, I did not assume they would be that stupid, because like, why make the state go through all the cost and expense and difficulty of an election if you're just going to cancel it afterwards? If you have the opportunity to cancel it beforehand, why wouldn't you do that? Anyways, so then now this time they're like, okay, now that it's happened, we're willing to actually cancel it. And so they negated it. I don't practice in Virginia, and if you know anything about any of the states that were formerly 13 colonies, they have the worst law codes that are gigantic and full of old stupid rules like this, so I didn't know it. And so I lived out in public, and people saw and they made fun of me. But yeah, just had to get that out there for the haters.
It's a pretty
fuck the haters.
It's a pretty extraordinarily retarded decision. The dissent, I think, is really strong. It's pretty astounding, but yeah. Well, the Supreme Court challenge, I feel like, is a good challenge for federal law reasons, but I have a feeling that Supreme Court is going to find a reason to either not hear it, or Alito's going to write the most retarded thing you've ever seen in your entire life about it. But
I don't know. You'd have to assume that the court was acting in bad faith for that, though.
Well, that's true. Actually, true.
But, yeah. But, well, just real quick going back, I just wanted to say that because that stuff before, because it's like, I feel like there's a lot of people nowadays that have a hard time admitting whenever they get something wrong, or, you know, they try to, you know, they make a guess and it doesn't go the way they said. And I think it's really not a good thing for us to keep encouraging people to not address those things or.
Wait, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm totally lost right now. What are you talking about right now? Or what are we?
Whenever I was saying, hey, I was wrong about my prediction. And I'm saying that I think that there's a lot of people out there, especially online, that won't admit when they're wrong. And I think that, hey, it's totally fine to do that. And it should be more normal to say, hey, this is my prediction. This is why I got it wrong. And, you know, I don't have to go kill myself now just because I got one prediction wrong live on the internet.
You do. Well,
but,
sorry.
You know, okay. I got to get back to my job. I love you guys.
Have a good one.
Be careful, bud.
Okay. Love you more.
Shut up.
Didn't dispute it.